This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we've got ourselves a tremendous hour as we're going to be joined a little bit later on in the hour, as a matter of fact, about 30 minutes from now, from one of our good friends, Kobe Dant. He does such an amazing job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, covers a little bit of everything. You need a little bit on the old CFL, he's got you covered. You need a little bit in terms of the College Baseball World Series, because he pretty much covers all things college sports. He covers all things every single league on the face of planet Earth in football. Like, if they started up a football league in Antarctica, you'd be able to find money in Antarctica. So he's going to be joining us in about 30 minutes. We're going to have a great time there. We're going to be talking some baseball, but we do have to hit upon the fact that we've got ourselves a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Pacers, they're able to hold that total way under as they get the job done by a count of 107-91. And all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a Game 7 now in the NBA Finals. So we're going to be breaking that down in a second, but first things first, before we go any further and before we do take a look at Game 7 in the NBA Finals, we have to give credit where it is due. For one, to the Indiana Pacers for giving us one more basketball game before we hit the summer months, and that is very much appreciated. But for two, the folks behind the scenes that give you everything that you see and hear here at VSiN, they are the best team in the business for my money, as you've got our producers, Johnny and Jared. They do such a tremendous job of setting me up for success, keeping me on the straight and narrow, and letting me know when some of these openers come out, when we do see some shifts. They do such an amazing job. So a big thanks to both of them. If you're watching on VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, just wherever you're able to get moving pictures / video of VSiN, Jaren's does a tremendous job of having really an admirable job. It's the hardest job here at the network, making me look halfway presentable in this format. He does an absolutely amazing job, and all the odds that you see on the screen, that's all thanks to him. So big thanks to Jaren's and all that he does. And if you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158, might be listening after the fact as well. Every single hour of every single show here at VSiN, you're able to find in terms of podcast form, vsin.com/podcast. And Fenos, he does an absolutely tremendous job of being able to set me up for success, making sure that everything sounds all nice, crisp, and clean. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Best team in the business, and because they're doing such a great job, we need to get you guys some great picks as well and do our end of the bargain, as right now in terms of game number 7 of the NBA Finals, we've seen a little bit of movement on some of these openers. As I recall, the initial DraftKings opener was 9. They were, quite frankly, the only book that opened this up at 9, but they did indeed open it up at 9. Right now, a lot of places have anywhere between an 8 to an 8.5 with regards to the OKC Thunder being the favorite, mostly 8.5. Like here at Circa, it's one of the straight 8s that I'm seeing right now, and you're seeing anywhere between 214.5 to 215.5 with regards to the total. This has ticked up very slightly, as a lot of those initial openers were more in that neighborhood of a 214.5, and pretty much all the 214.5s are gone, and I think that this is a little bit correlated. If you do think that the Indiana Pacers do have a chance to be able to cover this game, that they have a chance to be able to hold in there, I would say that you probably like the over a little bit more, just with the style of play that you do get out of the Indiana Pacers. And if you're going to be taking a look at a little bit more of the OKC Thunder, probably a little bit more of an under, because I do think that with the OKC Thunder, they're going to be looking to go a little bit more down low. I think that this is going to be a big game for Chet Holmgren along with Isaiah Hartenstein. I know that I got burned game number 6 thinking that Hartenstein was going to get a bunch of minutes, that he was going to have a bunch of rebounds. That did not come to fruition, but I'm going to be willing to dive back in on it right now, seeing that over of 6.5 rebounds. You have a good respectable juice on it. I'm going to be willing to take a shot there, obviously shop around accordingly there, but I do think that Hartenstein is finally going to be able to find it in this series. And like the one guy that really didn't have a good game for the Indiana Pacers in game number 6, that was Miles Turner down for what? He had 3 points, few rebounds. He went under all of his props. The guy that I think is very interesting is Andrew Nembhard, because he did have himself a very solid game number 6. He was able to heat up from three-point range. He made a trio of different threes. So that's someone that I think is going to be very fascinating to take a look at in terms of game number 7. Might be a little bit of value there, because I was thinking that you're going to have a lot of value with him because we saw the injury to Tyrese Haliburton. I thought, oh, this means that we're going to see more opportunities for Nembhard, and he just really didn't need them because he did a tremendous job being able to knock down the shots that he had. He did a great job of being able to help flow this offense, make things so efficient for the Indiana Pacers in game number 6. I don't quite know if he's going to be able to do that in game number 7, as right now his player prop, you're finding that more in the neighborhood of a 12, and for going over 12 points, you are able to get a plus 110. I just don't know if I could take that over. Now, I will be looking at a guy that has been sort of yo-yoing and pinballing up, down, all around, and Ben Mathurin. Mathurin, he went well under his player prop here in game number 6. He had 2 more points than Greg Peterson. It's not a place where you want to be, but I do think that he's going to be able to give you a pretty solid performance, and it's going to be interesting to see what player not named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander steps up for the OKC Thunder. That initial opener that I was seeing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was 32.5 or 31.5 with regards to his player prop. Now that's up to 32.5. You're going to be laying minus 115 juice, and I wouldn't want to take an under with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The only reason why he really had no chance of being able to go over here in game number 6, pulled the starters very early on in the fourth quarter because this game was very much salted away. The OKC Thunder conceded, and they decided we're going to fight to live another day, and that other day is going to be out here in OKC here with regards to this game number 7, and it's going to be absolutely rambunctious what we get Sunday night out there. So we've got ourselves an amazing game on that front. And with regards to some of the other player props that we've got, Pascal Siakam has just been good all postseason long. I don't know if I want to go over 20.5. You do have a little bit of a lower total, and what I'm noticing with regards to these player props, they aren't really, shall we say, dropped from what we've seen in the past. Now, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, we've been seeing a few more 34.5s for him, so that one is actually a little bit lower than we've been seeing in a lot of games throughout the series, but if you like, just do the mental math in your head, you've got a lot of guys that they're right around the same player props from what we've seen in the past, but you're really not getting a discount there, even though the total much lower than what you've seen all throughout the series. Like the closing total that we saw in game number 6, more around about 223 or so. Now this total is down to 215.5 in a lot of spots, so you slash that total by 7.5 points. That means that you should have some value on some of these unders. We will discuss that in a second right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we do have a tremendous game number 7 that is set in the NBA Finals, and we do have to dive in on some of these guys that perhaps we want a little bit more of an under on. And I do think that if you're looking at unders, looking at more of these role players might be the way to go. Like if you took the role players here in game number 6, you cash big time. Because with it being garbage time, if you took like an Isaiah Joe 3-point prop, if you were able to take his over in terms of his points, you were able to get there. Now for the Indiana Pacers, was a little bit more of the roll of the dice. It depended upon what number you got with like a TJ McConnell, for example, because with the Tyrese Haliburton injury, he, Ben Mathurin, those ancillary guards, they really did get taxed a little bit more, and we found out in this game number 6 that, you know what, Tyrese Haliburton, he's looking just fine, and he was able to have himself a great performance. And I remember when I was doing this show last night, his player prop was at a 13.5, just barely cleared that, even though he did sit much of the fourth quarter. They are making sure that he's going to be all good to go in game number 7, but I do subscribe to the Matt Human theory. He was mentioning this on VSiN Prime Time. It just felt like perhaps that injury to Tyrese Haliburton, perhaps that was a little bit more, shall we say, to cover for the fact that he didn't necessarily have the world's greatest game numbers. So I think that that's a little bit of an aspect of things to be diving in on as well. But I do take a look on this front with regards to some of these guys that will be taking a look at the under on, like Alex Caruso, over 9.5 points. Now, you can get this down a little bit more. If you want to go under 8.5 points, that's going to be right around about even money or so. That's what I'd be taking a look at. I think that he's going to have a little bit of a, shall we say, muted performance. Lou Dort, going under 9 or 8.5 points, I think that that's one that is going to be relatively rock solid. The one, shall we say, more ancillary guy, the one non-starter that I wouldn't want to be fading is Obi Toppin. And I do think that he's a big key in this game. Like, if you think that Obi Toppin is going to be having a big game, I would say that you probably like the points with the Indiana Pacers, because when he's been playing well, the Pacers have been playing well. When he has not been playing well throughout the postseason, we have seen some struggles for this team. He led all Indiana Pacers scorers with 20 points here in game number 6, and I think that he's a big X factor. Personally, I'm not going to be playing his at all, and think that is very intriguing in that you do have Chet Holmgren over 15.5 points. I think that he's going to be out there a ton. I think that he's going to have a big impact on this game. I just don't know if he necessarily gets there from a scoring perspective. That would be another one that I'd be taking a look at the under on. Just would not want to be going up against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or for that matter, Jalen Williams, because Jalen Williams has been that clear number two all postseason long for the Thunder. I think that he's one of the more underrated players in all basketball, and the fact that he just does a little bit of everything for you. He's that classic Bill Belichick, do his job sort of guy. And how about if we do our job and start to take a look at a little bit more baseball as well, because we do have a lot that is going to be happening on Friday. While we love the NBA Finals, that is going to be a game that is not going to be played tomorrow, so we do have to get you guys some sweats for this Baseball Friday, as we've got all 30 teams in action, and we've got ourselves some, shall we say, interesting starters, to say the least. Like, for the Atlanta Braves, they're going to be throwing out there a guy with the last name Fuentes, so that's going to be fun. We'll get that for you a little bit later on in the show, but we know what we're going to be getting out there in New York. This is 961-962 on the card, with it being Yankees versus Orioles. Tomoyuki Sugano is going to be on the bump for Baltimore, and Max Fried goes for the New York Yankees, and the total on this game is 9. You did see the Yankees finally bust through and score some runs. Ding dong, the witch is dead. They had a 30-inning scoreless streak a little bit earlier on in the week. They got the job done against the Angels, and I do think that Sugano is very hittable in this spot. But you know who's been really unhittable? That would be Max Fried. And it's not because he's getting a whole bunch of strikeouts, right around about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he doesn't hurt himself. Fewer than 2.1 walks per 9 innings, only about 0.6 home runs per 9 innings, sub 2 ERA. He was a really good pickup for the Yankees team in the offseason, and he gets to go up against a Baltimore Orioles lineup that, are they a little bit more whole with getting Colton Kowser back in the lineup? Yeah, they are, but at the same time, I'm just not feeling great about them. I'll get into the side in a second, because it's very much aligning with what I'm talking about here, because I see that total of 9. I'm going to be looking at the under, but do want to hit upon the New York teams, the Yankees, and we want to hit a little bit upon what we're going to be seeing on the Mets on the flip side, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we were taking a look at Yankees versus Orioles when we left off. We're going to make it a New York minute here, as it's going to be a little bit more than a minute, by the way, because right now we don't have a lot of openers with regards to Blade Tidwell getting the start for the New York Mets, but I'll be fleshing that out. I've got my handicap on that game, and ask and I shall receive. One just popped up here at Circa, so thanks for doing me a solid, guys, but you know what? First things first, well, that sharpens out a little bit. How about if we do take a look at what we're getting in Yankees versus Orioles? I was talking about the under in the last segment with Max Fried and how good he has been for this New York Yankees team. And by the way, if you're looking at the Cy Young Award market, obviously Tarik Skubal is right now the favorite out there in the American League. He has been absolutely ridiculous thus far this season, but you do have Max Fried currently at 9-1, and if there's a guy not named Tarik Skubal that I think has a little bit of value, even though his strikeout numbers not quite that of, shall we say, the likes of a Hunter Brown, Garrett Crochet, even Carlos Rodon, who's a little bit further down the line, I do think that he provides a little bit of bang for your buck. He has been a very consistent pitcher all throughout his career, and even though perhaps his fielding independent is a little bit higher than his ERA, about a full point higher than that .187 ERA, I still do think that he's going to continue to go out there and give you some relatively good production, and do think that he's going to do so here against the Baltimore Orioles. And for the Yankees, I mean, part of the reason why I'm in on this under as well is that the lineup, though it was able to get online against the LA Angels on Thursday, it's been rough. It's been really rough for them, to say the least. Like, you finally were able to get a home run out of Trent Grisham. It just feels like this Yankees team, they really do come and go with Aaron Judge, as Judge has been having himself a rough little bit of a patch. Now, he still has north of 460 on base. So, I mean, Aaron Judge standards of rough is a whole different style of rough, because, I mean, what we would consider probably be relatively good, it's like, for Aaron Judge, very, very mediocre. And he's still north of, like, minus 5,000 to be able to win an American League MVP. I would say don't bet that, because I would say that there's more than a 2% chance that here in the summer months that Aaron Judge gets injured, and I would say that he probably needs to do a little bit more in terms of being able to salt away that award. But Yeah, with the New York Yankees. Certainly has been an interesting bunch, with Paul Goldschmidt also being a big key for this team. He has seen a little bit of dip in his on-base percentage, so he'll give you about a 360 to a 365 on-base. Not quite the power hitter that he was earlier in his career with the Arizona Diamondbacks and the St. Louis Cardinals. Was able to go deep on Thursday, though, and for the Yankees, even without Luke Weaver, it feels like they're finding their way with this bullpen. Yuri De Los Santos has actually been really good, being able to supply you a sub-2 ERA. Tim Hill has been solid. Ian Hamilton, a little bit of a roll of the dice, and Devin Williams has not been good, to say the least. But you know what else has not been good? The Baltimore Orioles bullpen. And that's a big reason why I'm willing to take a shot on this run line of the New York Yankees. A lot of places you're going to be finding that in the neighborhood of minus 115. Wouldn't want to go really past a minus 120, since I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game, with Sugano very much pitches contact, giving up 1.5 home runs per nine innings. But fortunately, can go a little bit deeper into a game. Doesn't hurt himself with fewer than two walks per nine innings, but also for this Orioles bullpen. Other than Felix Bautista, along with, I would say, Brian Baker and Keegan Aiken, not a lot of trustworthiness. Yunier Cano, don't you know, his ERA has been above a four this season. Like, they had Cino Perez absolutely giving it up before he hit the injured list. He was just absolutely terrible. Andrew Kittredge, since he came off the injured list, he has not really been able to give you a lot of production either. So it's been rough, to say the least, for this Orioles bullpen. But do think that with what you've been able to get out of Max Fried, he goes out there, gets the job done, like that under. And I do like the run line of the New York Yankees. This one, I think, is a fun one between the Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies. And like I said, I was not sure if we had openers on this game. Circa supplies and delivers. Right now with the Mets, you're going to be finding them at plus $2, minus 235 is that number on the Phillies. 8.5 is the total. That juice on the over is between about minus 110 to a minus 115, but if you're looking at the run line of the Philadelphia Phillies, you're going to be finding that anywhere between about a minus 115. I'm seeing as high as a minus 117, and I would be willing to lay up to this minus 117 on the run line. As a matter of fact, I set mine at a minus 118 as of right now, and big reason why is the starter for the New York Mets, Blade Tidwell. That is a very interesting name, by the way, because I'm a fan of the movie Dodgeball. They always had those names of Blade, Laser, Blazer. Now we just need a Laser and Blazer for the Mets, and then we really have the Dodgeball trio there. But you know what? We do have Blade, and, well, Blade has not been good. 14.73 ERA. For those that are taking a look at things, here's how you know that your ERA is not good. If your ERA is higher than the year of the Gutenberg press, invented in the mid-14th century, you know that you're going the wrong way down a one-way street, as he had one start earlier this season. He just got completely destroyed there. And for Mr. Blade Tidwell, if you look at his minor league numbers, it's not like he's been great for the Syracuse either. For AAA Syracuse, right now getting 10.5 strikeouts per nine innings, but 4.76 ERA in the Independence League. And when you gauge these guys that are coming up to make a spot start, these guys making their MLB debut, something that you always want to take a look at with these guys coming up to the minor league level is the Independence League. It's very much more of a pitcher's league rather than the PCL. The PCL is a Pacific Coast League. That's the league where you have Sacramento and all those teams, the Albuquerque Isotopes. You've got like Reno, places that are very, very hot. A little bit of juice ball league. Independence League, you've got more of these, shall we say, cooler climate places in the Northeast and just the general east part of the country. And that should lend itself very well to pitchers being able to excel. And Mr. Tidwell has not been able to do so on that front. Now, the saving grace for the New York Mets, and the big reason why I'm going to be so willing to take a shot on the under, is that you do have a bullpen that has been very good for this team this season. They've been a top five team in terms of bullpen ERA. Jose Buto is a guy that's able to give you multiple innings, was a starter last year, sub three ERA. You've got Oscar Brazoban giving you a sub two ERA. You've got these guys like Max Kranick who are able to do a nice job of mixing and matching. So do like that. And with Zach Wheeler, sub three ERA, it's given up a little bit more of the deep ball than what you'd like, but mowing them down with north of 10 strikeouts per nine innings, fewer than 2.5 walks per nine innings as well. So I do think that you're going to be able to get a very good performance out of him. This is a circumstance where with the Philadelphia Phillies, it's been touch and go without Bryce Harper being in the lineup. He's been dealing with a little bit of injury, 9 home runs this far this season. And outside of Kyle Schwarber, who's up to 23 bombs, has been able to supply the team with north of 370 on base. Plenty of guys that are moving the line. Trey Turner hitting right around a 300. Alec Bohm, Nick Castellanos hitting in that neighborhood about a 275, 280. They've been solid. rest of this team has been not necessarily so great, though. So this is a circumstance where I take a look at this spot, and I'm going to be in on the under of the Phillies. And seeing this opener right around about minus 115, minus 117, I'm in on that run line of Philadelphia as well. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Have ourselves a very good day of baseball that is going to be coming up for this Friday. And we've got day baseball. If the day ends in Y, we need a day game. Thank you, Chicago Cubs, for being able to supply that, as we got Matthew Boyd going up against George Kirby. 971-972 on the card, as Mr. Kirby and the Seattle Mariners are about plus 104 to plus 110 underdogs right now, between minus 120 to minus 126 is that number on the Cubs. Total on this game is 9.5, and I do like this total over. For George Kirby, he has not looked like the George Kirby of old. Coming off the injury list, it has been rough for him. Now, I had one really nice start, I would say about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, against the LA Angels, where he completely mowed them down. 14 strikeouts, looked relatively impressive there. And since his first two starts of the season, which they were very rough, he gave up 11 total runs in 8 2/3 innings, has given up 2 runs in each out of his last 3 starts. So he's been able to hone it in. But here's why I really do like this total under. How about the win situation? And you always want to be gauging that with regards to Wrigley Field. It's why a lot of books just do not post an overnight line with regards to this total, just because when you don't know the wind out there at Wrigley Field, it makes it relatively tough. That said, winds are going to be blowing out, and they are going to be blowing out very, very heavily. I just refreshed it to make sure that I had everything all correct. You might be getting wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour blowing out in this game. You're going to be getting some midday wind that is going to be 12 plus miles per hour. So that's going to be an issue for you if you're either of these pitchers. And Matthew Boyd has been solid. Sub-3 ERA. He is getting in that neighborhood about 8 to 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Has really cut down on the walks as well. Fewer than 2.5 walks per 9 innings. But you also have a Chicago Cubs team that has been one of the most fearsome lineups in all of baseball. As you've got Pico Armstrong, Say Suzuki, 18-plus home runs thus far this season. You've got a lot of guys that are able to get on base as well. So these home runs are not just solo shots, they're 2-run shots, they're 3-run shots with Nico Horner hitting above a 280. You've been able to get relatively good production out of Michael Busch. He's up to a double-figure amount of bombs. He's been able to give you about a 350 on base. Kyle Tucker providing both average and power as well. And then on the flip side for Seattle, the team has been a top 8 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game on the road. Big dumper Cal Raleigh has been leading the way with 27 home runs. J.P. Crawford is moving the line. You've even got Roddy Tellez, who's hitting for no average whatsoever, but sitting for power. See if he's able to get into one with the win situation. I do think that that's going to be big. Also, do note for the Cubs, since May 1st, they have by far the best bullpen in the big leagues, sub-150 ERA. Do think that that's doing for a little bit of regression, but I'm still willing to take a shot on the Cubs here. I do think that they're the better team. Set them at a minus 146, so I like the Cubs' money line with the wind blowing out. Give me this 9.5 over as well, and also give me some action with regards to College World Series and the CFL. We're going to be talking about that with Kobe Dan of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network on the flip side on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and it's oh so great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Kobe Dant aboard. He does an amazing job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of football. He does a great job on so many different fronts. The college experience, he hosts their pretty much every single football podcast on the face of planet Earth. And Kobe, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me. And, you know, hey, it's a good time of year. You got the college football future market. You got college baseball. You got everything else going on, too. So thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me, Kobe. And how about if we do take a look at the College World Series first things first, because that is going to be a momentous event that is going to be happening on Saturday. Coastal Carolina facing off against LSU. Right now with LSU, open up in a lot of places, more in that money line territory of a minus 170 to a minus 175. How do you take a look at both game number one of this championship series and the overall series with, for the series, LSU more around about a minus 190?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by the matchup. I think LSU Arkansas coming off that classic, it was one of the best baseball games, probably the game of the year. And what an opportunity to fade LSU right now. I mean, you got Coastal's won, what, like 26, I think it is, in a row. And then I'm not going to get in front of that. I think, what are they, plus 130, I think I saw right before the show?
135, yeah.
Yeah, 135. And look, they have great pitching. This isn't a fluke. I know people will say, hey, Sun Belt team, they won it, what, in the past decade with the same exact formula. Great pitching, great bullpen. And how good are they on the bases? I think that's one of the most underrated things is how well they are on the bases. So I think Coastal specifically in that one matchup, I love. But I'm even going to jump on it for the entire series. But for the first game, 100%, just based on the emotions that LSU just went through, down those runs in the ninth inning and then being able to bounce back with all those errors and just against a rival. If you know LSU at Arkansas, you know that's a rival. So I love Coastal in that spot. And I feel like LSU is probably the team that I think has the pressure on them. It's not Coastal. Coastal is not supposed to be here.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And if you do like Coastal Carolina for the series, I mean, maybe this is just me running it through my head, but I would think that you just bet all three games on the money line because I can't foresee, unless if you get some just complete wackadoo pitching matchup, which you're not going to be getting in the College Baseball World Series, that you're going to be able to get plus money on Coastal Carolina in all three of these games. And I think that that would provide a little bit more bang for the buck.
I like that. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me, too. But I think it's just such a great spot considering the way that that game script went in the LSU Arkansas game. So Coastal and Coastal has been, you know, this is not a fluke. I think, you know, it's been one of the best stories in all the sports. I think this season is the way they've done it. You know, started out kind of shaky, but then once they hit that stride and just they're deep in every position in a way that they kind of have a lot of similarities to LSU.
Yep, absolutely. And LSU, obviously, one of the big bad wolves out there in college baseball. We all remember Paul Skeens pitching for them a few years ago. And we're seeing what he's doing right now out there at the MLB level. But no doubt, I do think that this is going to be a tremendous College Baseball World Series. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see Coastal Carolina put that win streak on the line. As Kobe Dan, who does such amazing work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, joining me on Cash It Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you always want to be taking a look at the splits that we've got on all these games. And here at VSiN, you're able to do so because we get our splits right from the source, both Circa along DraftKings. For Circa, they are known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings, they provide a little bit more of a broad market perspective. That means they're getting the real action, not just public money, but kind of wagers that they truly move lines. As DraftKings, they give you insights as to where you're going to be getting a little bit more of, shall we say, the casual bets that are going to be coming in. You're able to see the percentage of the bets and the percentage of the handle for every single game across every major sport. That helps you make smarter, more informed bets. Get our exclusive betting splits for your first month as low as $9.99 over at VSiN.com/subscribe. And Kobe, how about if we take a look at some CFL as well? As you do a great job, I was joking about it, but I mean, it really is true, of gauging pretty much every single football league on the face of planet Earth. And we do have ourselves a game that's going down on Friday, as they always space these out so you get like one game a night. Sometimes you'll get two. We're going to be having that on Saturday, but you've got the Rough Riders going up against the Toronto Argonauts. The Argonauts are known for typically being juggernauts in the CFL. Not in this case, though. Rough Riders, 3.5-point favorites. Total on this game is 48.5. How do you gauge this one with an Argonauts team that's been unexpectedly down this year?
Yeah, and I just can't get behind them because of it. They lost a lot of key pieces. Obviously, Chad Kelly's been injured ever since the Grey Cup last year, but they moved on from Kadeem Carey, which was questionable. A lot of these defensive players, you know, that they had a season ago that made that defense so good have moved on as well, whether to the NFL or to other CFL teams. And for that, they just have looked really bad. And they won't get Kelly back. I know Ryan Dinwiddie, the coach, has said, I think he expects them back in the next week or two, but not this weekend. And they need this now because they're getting beat down week in and week out. I just can't get there. When you look at Saskatchewan, they look like a very complete team. I know they started off really hot last year, but then faded. Well, they're starting off hot again. And Corey Mace obviously came over from Toronto. He's very familiar with the personnel there. So Saskatchewan, with the way that this offense has improved, I can't fade them. I will lay the 3.5. And I like the under 48.5 as well. I think, you know, Saskatchewan's defense has been very good. Toronto does not look like the same team. They got that hangover from the Grey Cup, and working with the backup quarterbacks, it's just not clicking. For whatever reason, The offensive line was phenomenal last year. It's not there this year. So I like the under. I think Saskatchewan will limit how many points they'll be able to put up. And Saskatchewan, even though they've improved, they're still not an offensive juggernaut. So I think the under is a good play, and I'll lay that number.
A team that has been a offensive, shall we say, revelation thus far this season out there in the West. They're actually leading that division in terms of points. That would be the Calgary Stampeders. The Stampeders off to a nice 2-0 start. They're going to be playing on Saturday against the Ottawa Redblacks. Right now, with the Redblacks, 3-point underdogs. Total is about as high as you're going to find it on the board at a 50.5. How do you take a look at Calgary and what they've been able to do through their first two games of the season?
Yeah, I mean, this is one, if you know, my podcast, the CFL Gambling Podcast, like, we covered this in preseason. Calgary with Dave Dickinson, he's won a bunch of great cups. They've had a couple down years, but going out and getting Vernon Adams, one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and then addressing the wide receiver position with the way they've done that, bringing in multiple guys that were very good in this league, and on the defensive side of the ball, they added some key guys. So they have been, I don't understand, the books have been off on them in the preseason. I mean, their win total was like 6.5 wins. They're already 2-0. They got the number one offense in the league. I'm all over them here. Ottawa's obviously, this line, by the way, a couple days ago was at a pick. If anything, I think it was Ottawa even at one point favorite. But news has come out, they're without Drew Brown. So I love Calgary in this spot. I like laying the 3, and I also like the over 50.5 because I think they're going to put up a lot of points again.
And the BC Lions, they're known for putting up a lot of points as well. As we know, they've had a few changes with regards to their offense as well. But right now for the BC Lions, they're going to be playing that late game on Saturday. And they are the underdog of 3.5 points at home against the old Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Total on this game is also 50.5. How do you take a look at this BC Lions team with quite a bit of turnover from a season ago on that offense?
Yeah, well, I was looking to buy in after they looked so good week one. But Nathan Rourke has gotten injured, so the line's a little tricky here. They've already played Winnipeg, too. So Winnipeg got him up there in Winnipeg, and that's when Rourke, I think, actually, you know, got injured. But Winnipeg didn't have Zach Caleros. They're going to have him. This is his first start of the season. So I don't know. It's kind of a tricky game. BC starting Jeremiah Masoli, the veteran. I think I'm going to take BC just because of that. Caleros' first start, he's been rusty. Was suspended for the first game of the season. So I'm going to take a shot on BC plus the 3.5. And I don't think it's a crazy money line play. I know historically BC's kryptonite has been Winnipeg, but BC under a new coach, Campbell's moved along. And to me at home, Jeremiah Masoli, free agent signing, ageless vet. I like them with the points for sure. And I don't think it's that crazy to sprinkle. Another one, I do think the over is probably the best play on the board.
Yep, and I still remember Jeremiah Masoli way back in the day being just a guy out there in the SEC in general that you could rely upon. And we do have about a minute left. If you are looking right now at what we've got in terms of the futures market, would there be a team that you'd be willing to take a flyer on? Because I know you were talking about Calgary a minute ago. Currently at 13-1 at the book that I'm seeing, seems like relatively good value.
Yeah, they're late to adjust. Even right now, you're seeing Calgary as a 3-point favorite. That's only because of Drew Brown's injury. Like I said, it's a 4-point swing from like Tuesday or Wednesday when we did our show. I don't understand why. They look phenomenal. They're actually healthy too for the most part. I know they lost Reggie Bagleton, their wideout, but they're healthier than majority of the right now. The story of the CFL 3 weeks in is a lot of the stars are injured. Whether it's Chad Kelly, whether it's Drew Brown. Well, you know, and then you had Calero suspended. So you just had key guys, Rourke, out for BC. We saw Davis Alexander get kind of dinged up tonight. So they're the healthiest team in the league right now. Why not take a flyer on the number one offense and a coach that's proven and won several Grey Cups as a player and as a coach?
Yep, absolutely. We'll talk some baseball on the flip side on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always great to be joined by our good friend in Kobe Dant of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Broke down the College Baseball World Series. Also, we dove in on the CFL as we went north of the border there. So a big thanks to Kobe for joining me in the last segment. Certainly, we've got a lot of excitement with Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We'll be touching upon that in about 15 or so minutes as we're starting to see that line move just a little bit. We've seen a few eights be able to pop up with the Indiana Pacers being the underdogs heading back to OKC for what is going to be an incredible game on Sunday. But how about first things first, we had some baseball here as this is a very befuddling pitching move here from the Atlanta Braves. Like, I typically know a lot of these guys that are coming up from the minor league level. You're typically seeing them in like double A, triple A, what have you. I had to double check to make sure that I was getting this one right. So how about if we go with this game? It's at the top of the board, 951, 952. It is the Braves, and they're going to be on the road. They're going to be facing up against the Miami Marlins, and it's going to be old. This is one of my favorite names in baseball. Jansen Junk, who's going to be going for the Miami Marlins. He's going to hope to not live up to his name here, but I mean, for the Atlanta Braves, they're going to be calling up, and hopefully I get this name correct, Didier Fuentes is going to be getting the start for them. Right now with the Atlanta Braves, pretty much sight unseen. You're finding them at about a minus 137. I'm seeing as high as minus 140 out there as well for the Marlins. Finding about a plus 123 to a plus 126, and the total on this game is 9. Didier Fuentes is a guy that I had to watch a little bit of YouTube film on, and I had to try to gauge his minor league numbers. Does he have good stuff from everything that I've seen? Sure, he does. He's a young gun 20-year-old who quite literally has made one career start above triple A, and he has made starts at high A, double A, triple A. 9 starts this year. He has went 0-7 in these starts. He right now has a 4.81 ERA. Command has not been too bad. He's honestly giving up 2.7 walks per 9 innings, but they're calling up a 20-year-old who has made one start above the double-A level, has as many wins to his credit at the minor league level as Greg Peterson. Now, again, with regards to pitching stats, what have you, wins aren't necessarily the whole ordeal of it, but I mean, it's not like he's been absolutely dominant. He had one good start for AAA Gwinnett, and I guess that they decide that they're going to roll the dice here. Really strange as to what the Atlanta Braves are doing. And I understand, because a lot of places were like projecting Bryce Elder. I don't know if he's injured. I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, this is very strange to say the least. And we've seen some of these Braves young guns actually look solid. Like, I mean, Spencer Schmallenbach was the guy that I had my question marks on last season. He has certainly panned out for them. AJ Smith-Schwaber is a guy that has been looking relatively solid when he's been out there on the field. He's currently on the injury list, but Didier Fuentes, interesting to say the least. And Jansen Junk, he's a guy that has been, well, moved around a few times, so I guess one team's junk is another team's treasure here, as he's been relatively solid. Like, for Jansen Junk, right now rocking a sub-3 ERA. Now, this has all been long relief appearances. He has made 5 total appearances, and it's total 22 2/3 innings, so, and he's been utilized as a bulk guy once or twice. You always want to be gauging this, by the way. When you do have a guy like Jansen Junk getting the start where they are getting, like, their first or second start, there are some of these teams that they'll decide at the last minute, hey, we're going to utilize an opener. So if you do go pitcher dependent in terms of this game, do be mindful of that. But for Junk, he throughout his career has not necessarily been that great. I still remember when he was pitching with the Milwaukee Brewers last year, it was not so savory for him. I really didn't see it, but I mean, he's been able to do a nice job of giving you good command, and that has always been the saving grace for Jansen Junk. Fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings overall for his career, less than 1 walk per 9 innings this season. Keep in mind, small sample size, and when you do go from being in the bullpen to being a starter, it is a little bit of a different dynamic. You do have a Miami Marlins team that I think that they could be able to get going with the Reds just a little bit more in this game. Now, you take a look at the Marlins thus far this season, not a lot of power in terms of their home games. Bottom 3 team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at bat basis. You've got Augustin Ramirez, Kyle Stowers, who will be able to give you 10-plus home runs this season. But right outside of that, it's a lot of station-to-station baseball. Like Xavier Edwards, who had a cycle last year against the Milwaukee Brewers. 0 home runs, but he's hitting for about a 350 on base. When you've had Eric Wagaman in the fold, he's been able to do a solid job. reaching base, Asu Sanchez coming into his own, and Dane Meyers. He spent a lot of time on the injury list. When he's been out there, he's been able to move the line as well. And for the Atlanta Braves, if you look at the entirety of the season, they are in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game, but Ronald Acuna Jr. says he's come back. He's been amazing, north of 450 on base, getting a home run once every less than three games. His home runs per at-bat rate is right around about one every 10.2, so he's been great on that front. And for the Atlanta Braves, you've been able to have some of these guys heat up a little bit more. You need more out of Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris. These guys have been disappointments this year, but even someone like Matt Olson, north of a 335 on base, he's been supplying the seam with 14-plus home runs. And for this Braves bullpen, has been a little bit unsightly for them with the Desbel Hernandez injury. You've got someone in Dylan Lee that I like. He's been able to supply the seam with a sub-3 ERA. You've had Aaron Bummer be solid as well, but the real bummer has been Rossy Iglesias. Not great, to say the least. And it's not like for the Miami Marlins, they've got the Mona Lisa Vitos of baseball in their bullpen either. Anthony Veziano and company have not necessarily been so great for them. Ronnie Enriquez, guy that I like, but circumstance where I do think that even though it's in Miami, where it's a little bit more pitcher-friendly, they get runs, I just can't get behind Fuentes in this spot, especially with the fact that the Atlanta Braves well below 500 on the road this far this season. So I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Marlins on the money line, and I'm going to be in on the total over as well. And here's something that you want to take a shot on going to Circa this summer. Like, my goodness, they are pulling out all the stops with their all-in summer package. You're able to get a two-night stay here at Circa for $400, and that includes the taxes and the resort fees. And I will always say this, if you've never traveled to lovely Las Vegas, they get you on those resort fees. So do be mindful of that. But along with your two-night stay, they're going to throw in a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit as well. So there's $200 right back in your pocket. And then you get your own day bed at Stadium Swim. That pays for the package right there. Oh, and you get a really, really nice room out here in lovely downtown Las Vegas. That's all for $400 for two nights, and it runs all summer long. It runs through September 4th. You're able to book that at CircleLasVegas.com. It is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We went from talking about Mr. Didier Fuentes, and now how about if we talk about a game with a very high total? Makes sense because it is out there at Coors Field, but I think that's maybe gone a scoge too high. This is 957, 958 on the card, as we're going to look to fill up an under with Zach Gallen on the bump for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And flip side, you've got Austin Gomber hoping to not get gombered up for the Colorado Rockies. Rockies are an underdog of anywhere between plus 158 to a plus 168. Between minus 175 to a minus 185, that number on Arizona, mostly seeing 12s on this total. We've seen a few 11.5s pop up as well, but whether you've got 11.5 or 12, I do like this total under. Zach Gallen is very strange in that throughout his career, he's always been a much better pitcher at home rather than on the road. Complete reversal this season. This year for Zach Gallen, it's been rough. He's been providing a 5.10 ERA, but that ERA goes below a 3.85 when he is on the road. At home, this is more of a north of 6.5 ERA. And for Austin Gomber, one start this far this season, one good start. He was able to go 5-plus scoreless innings in his first start of the season. Now, if you look at him for his career out there in Colorado, he's been posting up a career 5.04 ERA. He's been not necessarily getting a lot of strikeouts when he's been in Colorado, about 6.2 strikeouts. Bernie Innings has never really been a strikeout artist in general, but it's also backed up by a bullpen that has had a few redeeming qualities. Jake Bird has been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. You've had Victor Vodnik come off the injury list. He's been pretty rock solid for this team as well. Jimmy Herget has been able to give you some relatively good innings. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, this is a relatively grody bullpen. They are in the bottom six in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You've got Jalen Beeks along Shelby Miller, who will be able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, but Justin Martinez has been banged up. He came off the injury list, hasn't necessarily been too savory. Juan Morillo has been able to give you about a 4 ERA as well, but I mean, these guys that you've been trying to mix and match with, like, they're trying to give Anthony DeSclafani innings. He's not built to be a long guy, so that's an issue. What is not an issue is being able to supply the boom for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Top 18 with regards to runs per game, Corbin Carroll and Eugenio Suarez, both 20-plus home runs this season. You've got guys that are able to move the line, like a Gabriel Moreno has been solid at the catcher spot. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, 400 on base. These guys have all been able to do a nice job stepping up. And for the Rockies, even though they play at Coors Field, who's got the biggest ballpark factor in terms of helping offense in all of baseball, they're still only averaging 4.1 runs per game at home. That is a bottom 10 mark in all of baseball. Now, Hunter Goodman has been really good for this team, so he's living up to his name. He's been able to give you 12-plus home runs this season, doing a solid job being able to get on base. And for the Rockies, they are hitting north of 30 points better when they are at home with their batting average rather than away from them. Guys like Ryan McMahon, Brendan Doyle, they do give you quite a bit more at home rather than on the road, but do think that the Arizona Diamondbacks go out there, get the job done, and I know that it's starting to heat up in Colorado. I know that the conditions are good for hitting, but I just can't get behind taking an over of 12. I set my total 10.7. I like the under, and with the Diamondbacks, was willing to go up to about minus 145 with that run line. So we're looking run line of the Saints, and we're going to be looking at the under. And coming up next, we're looking at Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Those great words in sports. We get to break it down next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.